Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. The New Testament book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter in chapter number 1. We're in a series, a brand new series that we started on the Holy Scriptures. And we're almost dividing this series into little segments. The first segment that we're in, that we're going to be in for a little bit, is the segment of inspiration. And we took time to talk about the Holy Scriptures this morning, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we took our time to define what inspiration is. Now what we're going to do is take a little bit more of a microscope look and examine a little bit more about this inspiration. What do we believe about inspiration? How specific is this inspiration that God breathed, that God moved, and God gave us the Scriptures? Our text is going to give us a good understanding of this in the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter number 1, and notice with me starting at verse number 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16, the Word of God says this: "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark that last phrase that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, where it says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And with this, we're going to carry the idea a little bit more specifically on what is called the verbal plenary inspiration of God. And that's our title, the verbal plenary inspiration of God. The verbal plenary, P-L-E-N-A-R-Y, the verbal plenary inspiration of God. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And as we open up the Bible, I'm just asking that you would let it be clear, that you'd let it be understood, that you would help us to be amazed by your word, that you would let us see the authority of your word, that we would love you more because of your word. I'm asking that you would help us to be people of the book. Lord, I know there's a lot of things going on, and I have a spiritual weight of things that have been going on, spiritual warfare. Lord, set that aside now. And I'm asking that you would just help me to be surrendered to you at this time. My thoughts, my desires, my ambitions, my goals. Fill me with your precious Spirit, Lord. Use me in a special way. Help our church people to be tied even more to your word because of this message. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter is writing to a church, and he is giving a record of his testimony of what he has seen and what he has witnessed. Remember, Peter is one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles, and he had the great privilege of walking with the Lord for 3.5 years to actually hear Jesus speak. Can you imagine what a great thing that would be to actually travel with Jesus? Everywhere he went, you went. You got to hear what Jesus spoke. You watch the miracles. In addition, Peter had the great privilege of being part of Jesus' inner circle. He had the 12, but there were three that were really close to him: Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John got to go on special trips with Jesus that the other 12 did not get to do. And one of the most special, amazing trips that was made is what Peter is making reference to in this passage. Notice again in verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." Basically saying, hey, we're not believing lies. This is true. We haven't drank the Kool-Aid. We believe this is true. He says, why? He says, "When it was made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He says, how do I know Jesus is God? Let me tell you this story. I was there in an amazing event. Verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" God is making reference, or Peter is making reference to an event that he was present to called the Mount of Transfiguration, or the Transfiguration of Christ. We find this cross reference in the Gospel record of Matthew, in chapter 17, and the Gospel record of Mark, chapter 9. But what happens in the Mount of Transfiguration? What happened is that Jesus said, "Peter, James, and John, follow me." And he brought them up to a mountain, a special place. And there, in this special place, they watched as Moses, actual real Moses, not a vision, not a mystical thing, not a little cloud in the form of Moses. They saw Moses and Elijah. And they watched in an amazement as Jesus had a conversation with Moses and a conversation with Elijah. Now, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to be a witness to? That's Moses! That's Elijah! And to watch Jesus talk with them. You know, talking like little fanboys, right? Just, wow! I mean, they were amazed. Then they heard God speak from heaven and say, "This is my Son." You imagine what it'd be like to actually hear God's audible voice? And Peter, he's always the guy who sticks his foot in his mouth. He didn't know what else to say. He just felt like he had to say something. Hey, let's build a church. Let's build three churches right where we're at. Let's build a church for the law, Moses. Let's build a church for Christ. And let's build a church for the prophets and Elijah. Let's never get down. Let's just have church up here. Let's build the three tabernacles. Let's just stay up here. And God said, no, that's foolishness. But this is my Son. Then they watched Jesus as he was transfigured. What is that word, transfigured? It means turned inside out. They actually watched Jesus. Remember, what is Jesus? Jesus is God robed in flesh. You know what they saw? They saw Jesus take off his robe. They watched him take off his flesh just for a moment. And they saw God and they fell to their face. What an amazing thing that would be. Can you imagine what an experience that would be? I know many people who would say, I'd do anything for that kind of experience. I'd do anything to have that wonderful thing. Now let's see what Peter says about this. He says, hey, we're eyewitnesses. We heard God glorify Jesus. We know who Jesus is. I was there. I watched him turn inside out. Notice this, verse 18. "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Notice this, though, in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth into a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." Peter is saying, hey, let me tell you, God gave me a special privilege of being able to stand and watch Jesus be transfigured. I had a special experience where I saw Moses and I saw Elijah and I saw this. And what an amazing thing. Hey, I was there. He says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, hey, sure, you may want to be at that event. You may want to see that. But let me tell you, you have something better. You have the Bible. Think about what he said. He got to see Jesus transfigured. He got to see Elijah and Moses. He got to watch this event. And he says, hey, as great as that event is, you got something better. You got the Bible. This is a more sure word of prophecy. You know what he's saying there in essence? The Bible is better than experience. The Bible is better than experience. Some people say, well, I don't care what you say, I did it. Yes, but the Bible does not say that's true. You know, Satan can major in experiences. He can give people to fool them. He can distract them. He can give them dreams and visions. He can give them too much pepperoni pizza and they have their own thing. But this is a more sure word of prophecy. This is better than even seeing Jesus transfigured. That's a great experience. But we have something better by the word of God. That is an amazing statement that Peter himself made. This is a more sure word of prophecy. Notice what he said. He says, because we have a more sure word of prophecy, let me tell you why it's better. Let me tell you how we know it's better. He says, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now let's go back to the context. He's talking about experience. Do you know that you and I have different experiences? We don't have the same experiences. Some of you never got to ride a horse. I have. Some of you may have not got to travel. Some of you may have never left Wisconsin. Some of you may have never left the country. You know, we all have different experiences. Some of you have been able to do things that I haven't. And so we can't judge things based off of our experiences because our experiences are different. And you know, it's different to hear about someone else's experiences and you to do it yourself. For example, you could hear someone say, hey man, I went skydiving. I was in a perfectly good plane that was not going to crash and I jumped out of it. And it felt like I was flying. I saw the clouds and the birds and oh, let me tell you, my heart was racing and I just, when I tugged that cord, it didn't go. And I realized it was just a string and I didn't have the cord. I had to pull and finally it went down. And as I went down, it was just such a feeling. I felt the jerk as it went up and I just floated in the clouds. And it was a great experience. And when I fell down, I hit it. They told me to bend my knees and I hit my knees and I rolled. But oh man, it hurt. And let me tell you, I stepped up and the wind came and it took my parachute and it dragged me for a little while. Man, it was great! You know, you could hear about that experience and you could hear a great storyteller embellish and make it sound real, but you didn't experience it. You just have it secondhand. It doesn't mean as much to you as it does from the person who experienced it. And so our experiences can be different, but he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning that, hey, experiences may be different, but the Bible, it's going to be the same for everyone. Everyone can enjoy the same thing from the Scriptures. It's not based off of experiences. It's based that it is God's Word and that you don't have to worry about not having enough experience. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be different. And not a, you know, for example, going back to the skydiving thing, each skydiving thing is going to be a little bit different. Each person, how they experience it is different. For example, we took everyone on the roller coaster. We could go on the same roller coaster and people can experience that roller coaster in a different way. Some people would go, woo! Some people would be screaming. Some people would lose their lunch. Some people wouldn't even get on it. They would just refuse unless they were tied into it. And you see, if they were forced to, they wouldn't enjoy the whole experience. They'd be grumpy the whole time. And so even people experiencing the same event would have a different experience on it. But here, we have a more sure word of prophecy, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is any private interpretation. What that literally means is that the Bible's not going to mean something different to you than it meant to me. That God meant only one thing by it. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Notice as he goes on, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We see this word scripture, which means the holy writings. This is the idea that it is God's words, and that the Bible writers did not just wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to write some scripture. But instead, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We gave this illustration earlier, but the illustration of a pen. If I wrote something down, what wrote it down? I did using the pen. Both of them were involved, but this pen was an instrument. It did not write it out of its own will. It was only controlled by me. The same thing with these Bible writers. These were holy men of God, men of God who were surrendered and submitted to God as an instrument. And they got down exactly what God wanted to get across. This is what we mean by inspiration. So we're going to define what we believe a little bit more specifically. We believe as biblicist people, Bible-believing people, we believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of God. Let's take this bit by bit. The first word, verbal. The word verbal carries the idea of word for word. We believe in the words of Scripture. With the idea of inspiration, it carries the idea of the very words. God gave us the exact words of Scripture. That God, as He moved the men of God, wrote down the exact words that He wanted. It was not almost the words that He wanted. It's the exact words. He gave us the exact words that He wanted. Notice, if you wouldn't mind, let's turn to a couple scriptures and let's see this concept through the scriptures. Notice 2 Samuel, if you wouldn't mind. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. So back in the Old Testament, let's see what David, who was used to pen so many of the Psalms, let's see what David says about this idea. All right, 2 Samuel 23, notice with me in verse number 2. So we believe that God inspired, God moved the writers to give the exact words. Notice, if you wouldn't mind, 2 Samuel 23, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, His word was in my tongue." This is David's account here. Notice verse 1, let's get context. "Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, anointed of God, of Jacob, and the sweetest psalmist of Israel," this is what he said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Literally what he is saying is that God moved me, and I wrote down exactly what He wanted me to write. This is David's own account, that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, spake by me. He says, I'm the instrument. God's the one who gave the words. His word was in my tongue. I spoke not my words, but His word. We believe that God gave the Bible writers the exact words they were to write down. David says this himself. Notice, if you wouldn't mind, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's look at the New Testament example. 1 Corinthians, and there's a lot more. I'm just hitting a couple. We believe that God gave the writers the exact words. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For context's sake, let me hit verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Here the Apostle Paul says, guess what? God gave me the words to say. This isn't my wisdom. This isn't man's wisdom. I am giving you, I'm speaking, I'm writing to you the exact words that God wants me to give you. We believe that God gave us the verbal inspiration. He gave us each and every word. The very words is what God wanted to get across. Now, this is important. Let me show you one more. Acts chapter 1, dealing with David again. Let's look and see what these men are saying. Peter is actually recording this. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts 1, 16. It says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas," which was the guy to them that took Jesus. He says, hey, this scripture here, this holy writing came from David, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave it to him, that it may be fulfilled. This prophecy came not by David, but by the Holy Spirit. We believe that God gave us the very words of Scripture. Now, sometimes the people who don't believe this, they say that we believe in something called mechanical dictation. What that means is that they have the idea that we believe, which is not true, that God is sitting by their ear, kind of like a secretary taking notes. All right, write this down. The boy said, I. Okay, that is not what we believe. But we do believe that God used the instrument, just like you may be writing notes now, that God used that instrument to write down exactly what he wanted. And by the way, different instruments have different writings, by the way. If you have a red pen and a blue pen, do they write the same? No, they have different colors. It's the same person behind them. Each of these Bible writers were their own different instruments with their own backgrounds, their own things, but God used that instrument to give the exact words that God wanted to get across. And the Bible is clear in this teaching. Several passages speak about this. We believe in the verbal inspiration of God, that God gave the very words he wanted to get across. And there's all kinds of things in the Bible. I'm not a list. That is a literature thing that God did to make you slow down and emphasize each one of those things in the list. That's inspired. God said, put the "and" there. I want you to put emphasis on this next word. And so the entire list. So each and every word, if you wouldn't mind, may I show you some Bible verses that go with the same idea? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4. God inspired each and every word. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. Jesus is going through his great temptation. He's standing before Satan. Notice how he answers Satan in Matthew 4, 4. "But he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He didn't say some of the words. He said every word. Every word is necessary. Every word God intended to give to us. Notice, if you wouldn't mind, Proverbs 30 in the Old Testament. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 and verse number 5. Proverbs 30, verse number 5, notice this. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him." God is saying every single word is given by inspiration of God. Every single word is what God intended to give to us. It's not the thoughts and the intents, but God gave us the very words he desired and intended us to have. By the way, God is a smart God. Don't you think he understands language? Do you think that sometimes when he said, you know, I need to write some scripture down. Hold on. I got to think of the word. Let me think of the phrase. I want to say it just right. God doesn't get writer's block. God knows exactly how to get his point across. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it. He gave us each and every word that he wanted us to have. Turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We were there earlier, but 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just trying to show emphasis that God gave us the words, and now I'm showing the emphasis that he gave us each and every word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we hit that this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all, A-L-L, all, that means every, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God said all scripture is inspired of God. All of it is, each and every word. That means the begats, they're inspired. When you see the these, that's inspired. When God is giving the very words, he's giving exactly what he meant. You know, when he said hell is a fire, he meant hell is a fire. He didn't say, you know, there's a word, it's kind of close. I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to say fire. God knew what he was saying. He knew what he meant. He exactly, you know, if hell, by the way, if hell was just a deep sleep, don't you think God would just say, it's just a deep sleep? If hell was just a dirt nap, wouldn't he just say, it's a dirt nap? He said, hell is a fire. He said, this is what I meant. Hell is a fire. He knew exactly. He knows how language works. So we believe in the verbal plenary. Verbal means the words, the exact words are inspired of God. Plenary means each and every word is inspired of God, which brings us to the idea of inspiration. We talked about inspiration already. Inspiration just means God breathed. And the human writers, they realized that God was giving them the words. Turn with me to 2 Peter again. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me show you something kind of amazing. Peter is writing. He's getting close to the end of his ministry. Paul has already written several books. But notice what Peter says about Paul's epistles. In 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, notice verse 15. And the account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written to you. So Paul wrote you some letters. We love Paul. He gave us some letters. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which in some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do other scriptures unto their own destruction. Do you know what Peter called Paul's writings? He said, they're scripture. He said, you know the letters that Paul wrote to you? Those are scripture. Those are holy writings. Even they recognized it was scripture that God was giving to them. Peter said, that letter to 1 Corinthians, that's scripture. That is Bible. That's not just Paul writing a letter. That is God moving Paul to write that letter to give the exact words that are necessary. Those are scripture. Hey, that's a pretty good high endorsement when Peter says that's scripture. He says, I knew Jesus. I was with him. We have a more sure word of prophecy. This thing here, Paul's writings are also part of that more sure word of prophecy. It is scripture. It is scripture. One last passage, if you wouldn't mind. You say, okay, well, that's good. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You say, because of this, I also believe that each and every word is the Word of God. Good, let's go home. I got to get eat pizza or something. I got to go. What do we do with this? Now that you heard this, you go, good message, gee whiz, write it down. What do you do with a message like this? I'm glad you asked. So let me show you one last passage, John chapter 5, the gospel record of John in chapter number 5. The gospel record of John chapter 5, because the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy, because the Bible is the exact words that God intended us to have, That also means there's a responsibility. Because when we say that these are scriptures, we say that they're inspired of God. You know what we're saying? Well, sometimes we don't think about the words we say. This is the Word of God. This is God's words. That means, imagine, let's look at the passage. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, notice Jesus speaking in verse number 46. John chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus says this, "For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Here Jesus tied in the scriptures to his own words. Do you know that when you read the Bible, you are reading the words of Christ, the words of God that he wants you to have? You know what? It is just as good, it is just as equivalent that when you read the Bible, as if Jesus himself was standing right in front of you and telling you the exact same thing. That also means when we disobey the Bible, we're disobeying just as if God was standing in front of us and telling him, no thanks. For example, the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. That's not a suggestion. God's not saying, you know, it'd be nice. But it's as if God was standing right before you and with his own lips he was saying, study, you study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, if you say, that's not for me, you are actually telling God, I'm not obeying your words, as if he told you straight from his own lips. Jesus ties the Bible to his own words. And when we disobey the Bible, it is just as if we were disobeying a direct command coming from his own lips. By the way, this is why people don't want to believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of God. Because they want some wiggle room to disobey God. But if we actually believe, if we believe this is God's words to us, that also means everything he tells us as it is the same as if he told it from his own lips for us to do and us to obey. You see why this is such an important doctrine? People would rather not believe in the inspiration of God because they do not want to obey what this Bible says. But if we say that we believe it, we also have to obey it because this is God's word. So what do I do with this? You need to treat it as if it was God speaking directly to you because it is the same thing. God wants us to obey. So what is it that God wants you to obey today? What is it that you've been struggling with? You say, well, you know, I know it says it in the Bible, but you know, and you're making excuses. What you need to do is say, no, this is God's word to me. I need to obey it because God told me to do it. Again, it's much easier. It's a load lifted off of us if we could believe that someone else other than God gave us this Bible. But because we do believe it, we also have to respond to it the same way. Do you believe that God gave us the Bible? If that is true, then you have a responsibility to obey the Bible. By the way, not just the parts that you like, but if you believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of God and you believe that God gave each and every word, that means you need to obey each and every word he has given you to do. That's a heavy load, but at the same time, don't you think God knows what's best? Don't you believe that God knew what he was saying when he said, do this? And by the way, I'll do this for you. He says, just obey, just obey. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.